If you will, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22. The last Sunday that we met together, I preached a message on the worship of our Lord God Almighty, and that only to Him worship is due, only to Him worship is due. This morning, we want to take a look here in this passage for a little bit and see that there's worship in sacrifice. There's worship in sacrifice. In Psalm 29, verse number 2, just a few handful of verses that I opened up the message with last time, this is one of them. The scripture says in Psalm 29, verse number 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." He's to be worshiped in the beauty of holiness, to be holy like our God, to follow along in the way that He goes, to be like Him, and to take such and return it unto Him. Give unto the Lord the glory, due His name. Worship. That's the reason we meet here today on the first day of the week, is to worship our Lord. And we should be about as His children. We should be worshiping Him. The declaration goes out into all of mankind to worship the Lord. There's none other to worship. And so it is a privilege to do so. It is a command to do so. And we need to worship the Lord. When you come to services, I just want to mention this. When you come to services, it's for the express purpose of us worshiping the Lord, I ask you to introspect and consider about what's going on in your heart. When you come together with the Lord's people and in the Lord's house and with the Lord's house, His church here, what's in your heart as you come and as you look forward to it, as you are here and you sing the songs? We sing the songs together. We hear teaching of His Word. We hear preaching of His Word. We are involved in all these activities. What's going on inside? I pray, and we've all faced it and dealt with it, that there's at times there's been a thing that we've dealt with, and we just endure it, don't we? We endure it for a time. And God help us to push that away. But that we're subject to that. For those that are not saved, indeed, they may find themselves in a place where they just endure the time of worship. Put your time in. And I don't want to discourage you in coming by any means, but it's just we need to face these things because God looks on our hearts and He knows these things. He knows what's going on. I may know a different number of things that can go on in our hearts because I'm a person like you. I know what's going on in my heart in times past, what I am subject to. As the preaching, the teaching, the singing of the hymns of praise, do you find yourself doing that along with everyone else, or do you find yourself doing that yourself before the Lord in your heart? As those different words in the songs, as different things that are brought out in teaching, are you finding yourself saying, "Lord, thank You. Praise Your holy name for that." Worship is a very private thing. And true worship starts in the heart. The Lord said it there in John chapter 4 that the true worshipers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's an inward thing. It may be in public worship manifested as we sing together and we rejoice. Do we rejoice in the things that are said? Or the things that are said, the things that are taught and preached, are they just kind of gobbledygook or kind of droning on and just kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher? You remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. Or is there content there? Is there things that we're reminded of or things that we learned anew? Just us and our heart before the Lord. I mean, we want to, in this series of messages, we want to get down to what worship is and know what the scripture and what the Lord gives us about worship. Indeed, in worship of our Lord, we're going to see in this message and, Lord willing, others, that worship will cost will cost us. It will cost us. Worship will cost us. Now, it may be a price. If our hearts are right before the Lord, it's a price that we're willing to pay. Okay? It comes easy. It's a blessing to give it. But you had to get yourself ready today. You cleaned up. You got your clothes out. You made sure whatever clothes you were wearing were in good shape and all that. And you had to make an investment to come. The teachers had to make an investment in time for that worship in teaching that we do together here in the church. You could be doing something else right now, but instead it's evidenced by your attendance, our attendance here together, we've dedicated this time to worship. It's cost you that time, and time is the most valuable commodity that we have. We can never get it back. Well, here in Genesis chapter 2, there's this principle of first mention in the scripture. And here in Genesis chapter 2, we find the first mention of the word worship. It's not to say that there wasn't any worship before this time, but here it's interesting what Brother Abraham says, and there's also some other first mentions here in this chapter. Worship in sacrifice is what we want to touch on this morning. In Genesis 22, verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try. Okay? He tested Abraham. That's what that's speaking about. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Yes, Lord. What do you have to say? And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What do you think? Did Abraham's eyes go up? Did his eyebrows lift up? Was he affected in his heart? His heart rate go up? The Lord testified there that Isaac is the son that he loves dearly. Isaac is the son of promise. And in this passage, we see here Brother Isaac typifying our Lord Jesus Christ. He will do so through this to a point, and then it will arrive at a time that he won't be able to continue to be a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he is the son of promise. He is the son of Abraham and his wife Sarah. And the Lord says, take him up and sacrifice him. Burning. Offer him for a burnt offering, where I tell you. So we see here that in this account that Abraham debated with the Lord about it, hum-hawed and stammered around and drug his feet. Found excuse not to be able to go, kind of delayed things, hoping things would change. Nope. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood. He split the wood and gathered it up, bound it up for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. He went. God said so. And he went. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. The Lord made it clear. 3 days of travel, 3 days of journeying to this place of the land of Moriah, the mountains of Moriah. And it says here in verse 5, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Worship. He told the servant, says, we're going to go over here. You guys stay here. And Isaac and I are going to go over here and worship. God had told him to kill his son. God had told him to sacrifice his son, to offer him for a burnt offering to the Lord. And Abraham says, we're going to go over here and I'm going to have to do something tough that I don't want to do. No. He says, we're going to go over here. We're going to worship. We're going to worship. Worship in sacrifice. To worship our Lord, it will cost us something. And again, you know, I speak as a man because, again, when our hearts are right as the children of the Lord, when we worship the Lord, we're willing to give our time, and we're willing to give of our substance as we collected the tithes and offerings of the membership of the church this morning. We're willing to give of our talents and ourselves in that, and in that we worship the Lord. But it will cost. Now, the Lord Jesus makes it very clear in the scriptures, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that following him will come at a price. And worship of the Lord, not only to him is it all due, but it will cost us in this life. We're going to go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And here we have a first mention of fire here in the scripture. First mention of a knife, a cutting instrument. He puts all that on his son Isaac, and they went both them together. He took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire and the knife, and they went both them together. Now, Isaac, again typifying our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus bore our sins to the cross of Calvary and paid for them there. Our Lord Jesus, being totally and completely innocent, was willing to go. Here we don't see Isaac in defiance of his father in any way. He's going to have a question that's going to be manifested, but he's willing to do what his father says for him to do. He, in that sense, worships his father, Abraham, in that he's obedient to him. We'll see that in coming messages. And brother Abraham has the fire and has the knife, and they go together. And Isaac, verse 7, spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Brother Isaac knew about sacrifice. He saw it shaping up with the wood, the fire, and the knife. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? "Dad, we've got all the stuff, but where's the lamb?" He knew about sacrifice. He knew that they would take the first and the youngest and the best to sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifice, worship, and sacrifice. There's a worship and sacrifice. There's going to be a sacrifice for us to worship. He knew that his daddy would take the best of what he had and offer sacrifice at times. He knew that. He understood that. And brother Abraham here in verse number 8, very prophetic, very faithful. We worship our Lord, and when we have faith in him, when we claim his promises, when we lean and rest on him and have faith in him and the peace that passes all understanding, when it doesn't seem plain to us, when it doesn't seem that it's a viable way to us, but the Lord has said, "Go that way and do that thing," we worship our Lord as we have faith in him, as we trust him in this sacrifice that is at hand. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." A statement here, prophetic, of our Lord Jesus Christ, a statement here, twofold. The Lord will provide the sacrifices. If he wants us to sacrifice, to worship him in sacrifice, he will provide the sacrifices. He will make the provision. Brother Doug and his study on the Sermon on the Mount these past several Sundays in that. The Lord is our provider. He provides everything to us. It's all his. And should we be found not willing to give some of it back to him? And I'm not just talking about the stuff, folks. I'm talking about our lives, our time, our talents, those things that are in us and of our person, we are to sacrifice, worship our Lord in sacrifice of these things. He'll provide it. He will provide it indeed. Isaac, you don't have to worry about it. The Lord will provide it. We don't have to worry about it. Not at all, son. Don't worry a bit about it. He will provide it for sure. But then also here, when Brother Abraham said, I think it is true indeed, that it becomes a very personal pronoun here in this description. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The Lord will provide himself. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He provided himself. A body prepared for him. The Hebrews speaks to us about the faith of Abraham, that Abraham believed that even though he would slay Isaac for a sacrifice, that God would be able to raise him up from the dead. He knew that the Lord had promised him a son. And he believed him. He worshiped the Lord in his faith. He worshiped the Lord in being willing to even sacrifice his own son. And he stated here that God will provide himself, indeed, the only one that could be a sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God did. He provided himself. The Son of God became a man and yielded and gave himself on the cross of Calvary that we might have forgiveness of our sins and by him everlasting life be granted unto us. Abraham, in great faith, facing this ultimate sacrifice. If Abraham would have been asked, Abraham, you want to sacrifice your son or you want to sacrifice yourself? Now, he would have been willing to give himself. But the command of the Lord was to bring your son and do this. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. It's getting serious now, isn't it? A heart rate going up. The seriousness of this and the dedication of this is at hand. He binds up Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He's getting ready to kill him. Abraham wasn't holding back one bit. He didn't say, oh, I dropped the knife or lost the knife several hundred yards back or a day back or wherever. He was following through on time with no hesitation what God had given him to do. He says, worship me in this way, Abraham. Abraham says to the servants, we're going to go over here and worship the Lord. We'll come back. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, verse 10, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. At this point, Brother Isaac is no more typical of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus went all the way. He went all the way to Calvary. He went all the way to death. Our Lord Jesus, as a man, understand this, worship the Father in the giving of himself, the ultimate sacrifice, in obedience unto the Father. Worship in sacrifice. Jesus is a man. Worship the Father ultimately. Ultimately. In the giving of himself. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The ram being typical of our Lord Jesus Christ, foretelling about our Lord Jesus being that ultimate sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You know what? And it was there in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem. There in that place on Mount Calvary, it was seen indeed that the Lord sacrificed his son, that the son sacrificed himself, that the son as a man worshiped his father by being obedient to him and sacrificing the very greatest, his own life, for the salvation of his children, for the salvation of their children. Sacrifice and worship. Worship and sacrifice. We see it here told and is told about in this place. This is foretelling what would happen ultimately there in Egypt as the Lord goes to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that of the Passover that was instituted. It's foretelling about that. And where the Lord Jesus or where the God Almighty told the children of Israel to prepare that lamb and to put it up for so many days and to kill it on a certain day at night and catch the blood and put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel and to prepare it and to eat it with their feet shod and their staff in their hand and their clothes on, ready to leave out of that place. That foreshadowed and foretold even more about the Lord Jesus and what he would do. All the way until sometime nearly 2,000 years ago, when our Lord Jesus there in that upper room observing the Passover with his church, from that instituted the Lord's Supper, which we look to observe here in a few moments, telling about the sacrifice that he made for us. We observe the Lord's Supper to remember our Lord's death until he comes. The ultimate sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, we worship our Lord, don't we? We give thanksgiving unto our Lord. Even in the obedience of this ordinance, one of the two that the Lord's given unto his churches, we worship our Lord in remembering of the sacrifice that the Lord has given for us. Amen. Worshiping of our Lord God Almighty and the worship and sacrifice. In this observance of the Lord's Supper, we're bid by the Lord in the Scriptures to do two things. And we need to always be about these things. And we've recently taken a look at these things here on Sunday afternoons. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the apostle reminds the church there at Corinth about the Lord's Supper, the purpose of it, and how they had been abusing it. And he reminds them there in verses 24 and 25 about what the Lord gave and what he had received and what he had given unto them, that they take eat of the bread and representing the Lord's body, and they partake of the cup representing his blood, and to do so in remembrance of him. And he says here in verse number 28, for a man to examine himself, to be watchful and to be understanding, not to unworthily drink of this cup and eat of this bread and drink of this cup, to not be found guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now understand, his blood and his body was sacrificed for us to wash away our sins and be the payment for our sins. But I think the key in this is that is found in verse number 29, is to discern he having a body and it being given and his blood shed the way that it was, to not discern it incorrectly. We don't observe the Lord's Supper here this morning to keep ourselves saved. We don't observe the Lord's Supper here this morning to save anyone or to complete salvation in any way. It's not the purpose of the ordinances. We observe the Lord's Supper to remember our Lord Jesus and his death for us. The bread will not turn into his body. His body was crucified once on Calvary 2,000 years ago. It need not be crucified again. His blood was shed some 2,000 years on Calvary and is most effectual in heaven for us even now. It need not be shed again. These things, this is given to us as a memorial, and these things are tokens. They're symbols representing his body and his blood. And every child of God, a member of the Lord's churches that partake of such, we here this morning that will partake of such, it typifies and tells about how we have partaken of Christ inwardly. How he dwells within us. That we need the Lord Jesus Christ, no more intimate thing than for a body to eat something. Because what we eat becomes us. By the way that the Lord has designed things, and that shows about how fully and how close we have been partakers of Christ. I needed him to have died for me. There would be salvation no other way. And so we need to examine ourselves. He goes on in this chapter telling us in verse 31 that if Jim would judge himself, nobody else will have to get involved. And the same thing applies to you. If you will take care of yourself, the Lord won't have to get in there to chastise you. The church won't have to get in there to chastise you. The pastor won't have to get in there to rebuke you. But we need to take care of ourselves. He says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We need to take care of ourselves. Introspection. But notice that when we are touched by the Lord and touched by the church and maybe even talked to by the pastor, it is of the Lord because we are a people sanctified and set apart for the Lord, not to be condemned with the world. We've been saved from the world and saved from our sins. And he says here, wait for one another. Come together and partake of this supper together. And don't be guilty of some of the things that the church there in Corinth had been guilty of. And so I trust you've been doing that. It's only something that you can do for yourself. Even husbands and wives, they can't do that introspection within of the heart and of the soul before the Lord. We can't do that one for another. It's only between us and the Lord. And I trust that you've been doing so, looking forward to the Lord's Supper. We need to be doing that always. Lord, where is my fault? Lord, where is my sin? Lord, help me. Help me to live for you and not for myself in the world. And then in chapter 5, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as a body, this body fitly joined together by the Lord, known as his church, his house, we need to be introspective of ourselves collectively to determine that there is no brother or sister that is involved in fornication or covetousness in an outward and public way, idolatry or railing or being a drunkard or extortioners of such, anything such as that. Chapter 6 talks about things that we've been saved from. That there'd be no public testimony of outward sin and wickedness amongst the membership. It brings a compromise to the Lord, to his work. It's a shame for the people of God to be involved in such things. And when I say this about publicly, I'm not saying that it's okay privately. But it doesn't need to be going on publicly, like Corinth had something going on and they just thought that they had self-wisdom and conceit and say that it's A-okay, but it's not. And so I trust that as a member, we've been considering about those things and are always considering about those things too. We need to be salt and light to this world, not a stumbling block and a reproach of our Lord unto others. We don't need to be found as the children of God, to be found as blasphemers of the word of God by saying that we believe and hold to something and then do another before the world.